Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
He started his first business using the capital that he gained and accumulated doing gigs at school. He invested in technology solutions that were just ideas at the time, but he saw potential to develop them into products that could then be commercialized and sold to companies. So he invested in intellectual property rights across the globe and then designed products. He was always on the lookout for solutions in sectors like alternative energy, nanotechnology, and water treatment. No surprises then that he's always looking for opportunities and ways in which big forces are going to change the world, in his view. I'm speaking with Daryl Lim. He is the founder of Prime Advisors Network, and he's here to talk to me a little bit about the potential for blockchain to unlock business transformation. The book is Blockchain Unlocked, and Daryl Lim joins me live. So Daryl, even as we speak, the ideas in this book date, right? So when you think about writing a book about blockchain technologies, was that daunting for you?
Well, it was, because when I start talking to people, when I attend conferences and some business leaders, you can tell that there's a lot of misconception when it comes to what the technology is and what it can do. So the general thing we hear is, oh, blockchain is Bitcoin, it's a speculative technology, but it's actually more than that, and it can bring a lot of value to businesses. So that's where I got down to writing the book, to make it easy to understand for business leaders. Yeah.
As an entrepreneur yourself and an investor, why blockchain? What about it interests you?
Well, when I started off doing investment in my business, we were always looking at the next new thing, the next hip thing. Mm. And that was always in technology. It started with engineering, it went to payments, and then now we're trying to see, okay, where is technology going to bring us in the next 20, 30 years? Exactly. Right. So in my 7-10 years of talking to technology providers and business leaders and financial investors of the like, we managed to narrow it down to, well, basically three areas of technology. And it's as simple as ABC. A being artificial intelligence, B, blockchain, and C, in cybersecurity. To me, is if you get your ABCs right, the future is yours.
Wow. Okay. This is promising. This is good. We're always on the lookout for what's next as investors. So first up, help us understand in terms of solutions, how will blockchain change the world? We understand it as a transparent ledger, right?
Yes. Apart from being a transparent ledger, blockchain is immutable. Basically, once you get data on it, no one person can change it. Mm. And that brings a very often overlooked aspect of business or finance, and that is trust. Blockchain essentially brings trust to a very highly untrusted world. And from there, if you can imagine what trust can bring to the economy, to finance and investment, that's where you get your multiplier effect of how this technology can move the world forward.
Okay, can you expand on this idea of trust? I mean, how do you see blockchain really affecting banking and finance in particular?
Okay, so we look at banking and finance. Well, there are two primary applications for blockchain. So the first one would be cryptocurrency, and then you have the, well, really hot topic of decentralized finance, or DeFi.
Yes.
The main question that people ask is, when blockchain is being applied to banking and finance, is it a threat or is it evolution? Okay, so before you can answer that question, you got to take a step back and just see the kind of value that the internet brought banks, right? So when the internet first came about, banking went online, banks were able to profit from more efficient transactions. With blockchain coming to the picture, you add trust into the whole formula, to the whole mix, right? The banks are able to create a more customized experience for their customers. Now, the client profile, the investor, the risk tolerance can be customized to each particular customer of the bank, and they're able to provide a much better user experience when it comes to the whole banking process.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's from the operational standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at where technology can bring in terms of business for the banks, then we have to look at payments, because payments is a very big opportunity and function that the banks can play in this whole financial economy.
So to answer that basic question, threat or evolution for banking and finance, is there a bit of both?
It is, of course. Well, blockchain, it's more of a threat because unlike the internet, okay, which helps to bring efficiency to the banking, like banking and finance process,
yes,
what blockchain does is it also shifts the balance of power. So for example, if you look at payments alone for banks, mm-hmm. right? In the past or even right now, if you want to make a payment to someone across the world, there are many processes, many forms to fill up regulation and what the banks have, they have their own criteria, for example, minimum transfer fees, maybe even lead time for how the money is being transferred from one country to another. Now, with blockchain in the mix, because it's an integrated network of computers or systems, this whole transaction becomes rather seamless and easy and even cheap. In other words, why is a threat is because now I'm able to pay someone across the globe without needing the banks, right? So mm-hmm. that's where the threat comes in. So essentially, the power is with the banks to see whether this technology is a threat or is it going to revolutionize their business. Right? So they can play a very important role in how they can, in a very regulated manner, facilitate transactions, facilitate payments, and make payments cheap that it becomes convenient for the mass market consumer like yourself and me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, get that. Yeah. Now, you mentioned two prongs or two dimensions in which blockchain is going to change the world. One in the area of decentralized currency. So we know that real-time changes are happening. China rolling out its national central bank digital currency. We know the Fed is going to trial digital currency. Facebook's mm-hmm. Libra has been talked about for a long time. People wondering whether the goal is to create a simple global payment system. What is blockchain going to bring to the area of currency?
So blockchain would form the base technology that these currencies will be built upon. So back to the misconception that people usually have, you know, Bitcoin is blockchain. Well, Bitcoin was built on a blockchain, same as the other currencies. So it's more of the value add for blockchain technology is known and applies across the board in any currency, whether it's China or the US. But its functions lie entirely with the parties that are building the currency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's where you're talking about tokenization. That's where you're talking about the economics behind tokens. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, for businesses listening in and they want to use the blockchain, where are the opportunities? You mentioned sending payments across the globe. There are lots of other businesses that already do that. What do you see as clear opportunities for businesses who want to use blockchain?
For business, it's pretty simple. It's basically safe, secure, cost-effective. Based on these three principles, all right, for a business to do, let's say, in logistics, all right, when you add trust into this whole mix of their business, how do I know my goods have arrived? How do I know that my buyer has received their goods? Or how do I know that all my paperwork has been filed from a buyer's perspective? All these questions can be answered using an immutable ledger like blockchain. All right? When those questions are answered, payments will flow because there's now trust in this environment, right? And mm-hmm. businesses can eventually focus on what they do best and not worry about whether, you know, are my records straight? Am I going to get in trouble with the authorities? Because everything's transparent. Everything is, well, I wouldn't say unhackable, but immutable. And it brings this value add, although sometimes overlooked, brings a lot of promise for business that wants to grow and scale.
Okay, help us understand this area of trust. You keep bringing up this word immutable, but we know that the blockchain is a virtual entity, so to speak, right? And with cybersecurity hacks happening in real time as we speak, what makes the blockchain immutable?
Okay, so immutable, I will not go as far as to say that the blockchain is unhackable. Everything is hackable, okay? But maybe it would be better if I give an analogy of how this will work. Mm-hmm. All right. So imagine you have a treasure map. Okay. And let's say we have a treasure map and I break up this map and I make copies of this map, wrong copies of this map. All right. And I break this map into a million pieces and I spread this across a million other boxes for people to find. Now, the question is, can someone find the map, piece it together and find the treasure? Absolutely. But would he be willing to go through the trouble to consume the amount of resources you need to find the map pieces and place it together so that he can find the treasure? Mm-hmm. Now, that's a big question. So in today's context, when you talk about cryptography, you talk about the blockchain's immutability, it's because you require a huge, huge amount of computing power to even have a chance of breaking the code, mm-hmm. right? Which enhances its level of security and enhances its claim where, okay, when I have a record on the ledger, it's almost impossible for any one person to change it. You have to get a consensus in order for the record to change. And that's where the trust comes in, because it's nearly impossible to break that code.
All right. Okay. Yes. I'm speaking with Daryl Lim, and he is the author of Blockchain Unlocked. Blockchain can seem daunting to a lot, but this book is an easy to understand book meant for readers with any level of knowledge in the blockchain. I'm interested in understanding what investors need to understand about perhaps investing in the blockchain economy. So maybe we can talk about what the tokenization of physical assets means for investors.
All right. So when it comes to tokenization, we have to first define what's a token or what is tokenization. All right. So essentially, it's the process of attaching something of value, right, to a particular thing or token. All right. So for example, you have a casino chip or a loyalty point. There's a X amount of value that you put into that particular physical token. Okay. Now we put it into the mix. It becomes easier, more secure, and more convenient to create and manage these said tokens. Okay? So in that light, okay, it can be said that all digital assets that are created, managed, and used on top of blockchain are tokens. Okay, so your examples can be Bitcoin or Ether or the likes.
Okay.
However, mm-hmm. for a token, right, and a cryptocurrency are not the same thing. So once you know what a token is, you can look at how the economics behind a token functions. Okay, because each token has its own value.
Mm.
Okay, so when it comes to economics, you have how many tokens are there in the market, right? What kind of value are you attaching to that particular token? And that forms the set value of how this token will fluctuate. So in short, is what tokenization is. It's attaching a particular value to a token.
Okay, so why does your chapter say there's an art and science behind tokenomics? Where's the art?
Okay, so that is the million-dollar question. So when it comes to tokenization, as I mentioned earlier, it is practically a science, because if I put value, if let's say I have 1,000 tokens and I have $1,000 worth of value behind those tokens, each mm-hmm. token should be worth $1. So that's the science behind it.
Mm-hmm.
When I consume said tokens, its value should go up, supply, demand, economics, that sort of thing. Now, the art comes in is where, what happens if you cannot measure the value of the token based on its physical and perceived value? What happens if a token, if I put, let's say, a vintage collectible Pokemon card onto that token, then everyone goes wild on it. The card is not worth $1 million, but if there's enough demand for it, that's where its value goes up. So that's the art behind it, is to find something that you can put behind a token, right, that is able to gain the interest, you know, and the wants of the people that understand that token. So that's the art behind that.
So is tokenomics, I mean, does it have impact on monetary policy?
Oh, absolutely. Because when it comes to tokenomics, it's as good as transacting fiat currency. So if fiat, it has to be regulated. I don't see why tokens shouldn't.
We're not there yet, right?
We're definitely not there yet, because there's still much to understand on how you digitize your assets, how you digitize value into something called token, and there's still that general uptake. So, I mean, if you were to ask me, moving forward, if we were to unite the entire world's stock market, that would be securities tokens, and that has to be regulated. So, yeah, imagine getting access to stocks in London, stocks in the US, without having to go through your American brokers or your British brokers. And then why regulation has to set in is because there will be issues of tax, there will be issues of money laundering, issues of knowing your customers. These are big topics that are going around in the market today.
Are you seeing an uptick in tokenization and a concurrent uptick in understanding of what this means?
Absolutely. So for tokenization, I think from my, in my perspective, in my view, securities tokens are now picking up in momentum. It's because being on the internet, there are no borders, there are no immigration laws, there are no barriers that will keep you from exploring an opportunity in another part of the world that has more, that can generate a higher return for yourself. So that's where securities tokens come in. It's where you give investors all over the world access to a particular asset in another part of the world.
Really interesting. His name is Daryl Lim, and he is the author of Blockchain Unblocked, Business Transformation with Blockchain Technology. You give 10 case studies to illustrate the ideas of the application of blockchain. I wonder if you can walk us a little through case study one, which is so pertinent for our listeners, blockchain and banking and finance.
Okay, so for banking and finance, we can touch a bit more on where the evolution comes in.
Sounds good.
All right, so on the part of where blockchain can value add to banks, right? It offers banks and financial service providers, not just the banks, but other financial institutions, a more efficient and cheaper way to deliver services. Okay, just based on one particular benefit like that brings a lot of knock-on effects to their customer database. So, for example, let's say, for banks, if you are a consumer today, right? If I have a profile on the blockchain, right, that practically satisfies my KYC or my know your customer regulatory requirements, my profile can be used across a whole series of financial institutions and banks, and I don't have to go through the same process every time I do it. Mm-hmm. Every time I want to go to a bank to invest, or I go to a fund to buy, you know, I open a brokerage account. So, just on that one application alone, all right, the investor will have a range of options that are now available to him, and that makes it more competitive for the investor who wants to use these set services. For the banks, it will be more of now I have greater access to the market. How do I stay ahead of the competition? So that will be where the evolution comes in.
So there are lots of listeners who, you know, in the past love looking at banking stocks, and particularly Singapore banking stocks. And then you read about Warren Buffett turning away from American banks, for example. Everybody wants to know what technology means for banks of the future. And you're quite specific. You don't believe that the blockchain technology will lead to the demise of banks.
No, but that will be entirely up to the banks. So think of it as Blockbuster videos, or I think in Singapore it's called Video Easy. If they stayed the way they were and they stayed the way they are, they will eventually meet the end because technology essentially put them out of business.
Sure,
so today, this technology is in a position to be a threat to banks, but how this thing plays out will be entirely up to the banks and to the regulators, of course.
Okay. And before we let you go, just a reminder to investors out there about why you think blockchain is an area that they need to understand.
Pulling back to where when we first started this interview, when I speak to technology providers, regulators, and in fact, with this whole COVID-19 crisis that we are going through, it's speeding up digitization, it's speeding up how we take businesses, finance, investment, all online. And going back to what I said earlier on, if you really want to have a grasp of the future, it's as simple as ABC. And B, being blockchain, is one of the important areas that you have to look out for, you have to understand, because there's no other technology that brings with it the kind of security, efficiency, and immutability.
Really great speaking with you. Thank you for clarifying, you know, what seems to be a real mystifying area for our listeners. Great
My pleasure.
Daryl Lim, author of Blockchain Unlocked, joining me in Money and Me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.